You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
On Fox Sports Knoxville, Russell Chance and the Bear live today at Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy. Of course, National Law Rex, your Friday home of the drive. Come on out and see them, folks. We still got the crackling woodwick candles. I see one of the heart-shaped candles over there. Time for Valentine's Day, which I guess is 12 days away. Come on out here and save your marriage and or relationship with the crackling woodwick candle. The gift that truly says, I love you.
Right, I love here, you too, Russ.
I thank you. It's all about the love.
Whoa.
Here on
love
the drive.
Love you too, Chance.
You guys ain't got to get all mushy with me.
You're welcome.
Do you not love us?
Yeah.
Wait. Actions speak louder than words, hold, Russ. Hold, hold you on. Know that Chance loves us both.
Wait a minute.
You aren't going to fool me.
Let's have a little consistency here. I mean, you see nothing wrong with Tom Brady tongue wrestling with his child.
I didn't.
He said it was uncomfortable.
I didn't think that he was tongue wrestling with his child.
He wasn't. Keep in mind, I hate him, and I hope his career ends on Sunday night.
You can't tell
Jerry
us
Barnett drinking his blood, but I don't think he was tongue kissing his kid, man.
I can, but like, am I just saying it just to say it right now? Like, is there something going on? You guys okay?
No, we're just it's almost Valentine's Day, and we're expressing our love and admiration for each other.
I have a lot of love for you guys. There, I said it.
Why do you have to make it weird? Us. That's weird, dude. Why do you have to go over there? All right, so just put up the poll on at Russell. @Russell_Smith. Did Tom Brady French kiss his son? 76% of the audience says yes. That was a French kiss, man.
You can put up a poll right now. Was Tom Brady the man on the grassy knoll in Dealey Plaza? And 78% of the people would say yes.
What are you trying to say about my Twitter followers?
That they're like everybody else in East Tennessee. We hate Tom Brady.
Not all my Twitter followers are in East Tennessee.
I'd say the majority of them are.
It's fairly a good point, too.
I'd say most of them are in the Southeast, but I would say
that 98% of them are Tennessee fans.
But that's good. I wish I could run those analytics. I'll bet 90%. I bet it's a little lower than 98.
And I bet 99% of most Tennessee fans don't like Tom Brady.
Let's bring in Rick Butler from back at the Mountain View Chevy Studios. Rick, what do you think? Was that a French kiss with Tom Brady and his – how old is the kid? Do we know?
He looks about eight or nine.
8 or 9 years old. Well, first of all, was it uncomfortable, Rick?
Yes, I think it was incredibly uncomfortable. It just went way too long. It seemed unnecessary.
No, listen, I'm not saying any sort of criminal activity is going on here. I'm just saying it's really, really weird. Does anybody kiss their children like that? Listen, I love my kids to death, man, but I don't kiss any on the lips.
No, top of the head.
Yeah. Cheek, neck, top of the head, whatever. Forehead. Like, that's all fair game. If, you know, even if I did, I guess, okay, you go mouth to mouth, but it's a peck, man. You're in and out of there. He was making out with that kid.
I mean, it was, what'd you call it?
What
uncomfortable.
What a strange dude, man.
It's a very loving family, yeah. Brady family.
I guess so. Big news today in a story we broke at FoxSportsKnoxville.com. It's up there if you want to go read it. Major changes coming to Tennessee football uniforms. According to sources, Tennessee will stop wearing smoky gray uniforms in games and will stick to all orange and white combinations with black cleats as well. Moving forward, as Jeremy Pruitt looks to re-embrace Tennessee's tradition and move away from some of the gimmicks associated with the Butch Jones era, What do you think about that? Do you like it?
Yep.
Are you okay with it?
Uh-huh.
Or do you think that this is something that they should not be doing? Also, today's Rick Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question, what color cleats do you want to see the Vols wear? 53% want to see the black, 47% going with white. So a pretty good sample size coming in there. And I did not know we had calls, so I apologize to those of you waiting online. Let's go ahead and work through them. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Caller pace, Russell. Caller pace.
Slipping.
We'll get John Tweet in here first. Good afternoon, Tweet. You're on the drive. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Good day.
Yes.
Tom Brady kissing his dad is disgusting. That is disgusting. There is nobody that finds that acceptable. Nobody.
We're not talking about him kissing his dad, though.
Well, it begs the question, what's weirder? Kissing his man, like two, you know, they're both grown men.
I think we all know where he gets it from now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is like
a friend in the car.
Thing.
She thinks he's okay. I don't think so, but kissing your dad on the lips is completely unacceptable. That's pretty disgusting, gentlemen.
I mean, I don't know, unacceptable.
I'm not
what are we going to do about
kid.
It? I don't think anything
that's
can be
weird.
Done about it. We can mock it, make fun of it, but at the end of the day, it's just something that we ridicule.
I mean, I'm talking about him and his 70-year-old dad making out after the game.
So you think that's weirder than he and his 7-year-old child making out before the game?
Oh, no, he and the child on the massage table. No, that's weird, man.
Kind of felt like you guys were making it weirder than it was, though. I mean, it was definitely weird and uncomfortable.
How are we discussing it changed, like, anything about how weird it was? I mean, we're talking about it because it was freaking weird, man. I mean, it's just really strange.
Yeah, you don't have to – I mean, it's weird enough on its own. You don't have to embellish it.
I'm not embellishing it.
I'm not embellishing it. We're just having a frank discussion about what happened. A man slipped
his
child the tongue while on a massage table.
Huh.
I mean anyways, Ole Miss, what I'm assuming we're going to pound them into the ground?
We better.
I mean, I wouldn't assume that. I would hope for a win. I think it's a game Tennessee should win. I don't think we're going to see what we saw the other night where we just hold a team down and beat their brains out by 20 points. I mean, I think we're going to have to grind it out tomorrow.
Why do we have to grind it out? Ole Miss is terrible.
They're 11.
Are they
11.
Not?
I mean, they've won 11 games this year.
They've won 11 but lost 11?
Yes,
correct.
The coach isn't very good. I don't think they've recruited particularly well, have they? Am I missing something? I mean, we're allegedly a top 15 basketball team. We should pound this team into the ground. Shouldn't even be close.
Didn't they have a better recruiting ranking than Barnes?
I'm not sure. Probably.
Everybody had a better recruiting ranking than Barnes.
Yeah. Well, I would say that it's probably – Russell's right. It might be a grind-out game. Like, first off, I mean, yes, I've said it that, I mean, you lose this game. Like, this is really bad on Barnes if he were to lose, and you'd have to criticize him. But, I mean, they only lost by nine to Auburn on Tuesday. So
where was that game, Chance?
Where was that game?
It was at Ole Miss.
It was at Ole Miss, yeah. They are 0-6 on the road for the season. They are 0-4 on the road. So
yeah, we should hammer this team. Guys, I just watched that video. I hadn't watched it yet. I just kind of seen – the worst thing about that whole video is Tom Brady's erection. Good day.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing? 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board here. Yeah, Ole Miss only led Auburn, who I think we'd all agree is the best team, at least for now, and probably for the rest of the is the class of the league, and Auburn led them by only two at the half, ended up pulling away to win by nine.
Yeah.
The Terrence Davis kid feel like he had a big game against us last year or the year before. I can't remember. Markel Crawford is the transfer who I think Tennessee may have had some dialogue with about perhaps coming here. So he's a decent player. Started, I believe, played his first two or three years at Memphis. I mean, it's a game Tennessee should win. I'm just not counting on a blowout.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't count on it either. I mean, they've had, I guess the one, maybe two blowouts on the season where they
What was the other one? I'm trying to think.
That LSU.
No, they pounded the first couple of teams, yeah. Your Lipscombs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
It's not the same as pounding LSU.
And that was pretty much our first blowout of conference play, wasn't it?
Game of consequence, yes. Yeah.
No, and I always put that, LSU had just had the four suspensions. They were a little bit traumatized in before that game.
Probably been a much better game if they're fully, at full roster.
I just look at it as a game. You better come out there prepared to do whatever you have to do to win this one, because the next week is going to be tough. You're at Kentucky on Tuesday, at Alabama on Saturday. Those games are going to be really, really tough, but not to be like a coach here or anything, but you're just in the point of the season where you take it one game at a time, and you can't look ahead or behind. You just have to be in the moment. And right now, if you're Ole Miss, they're fighting for their postseason lives. I mean, you got to think NCAA tournament is kind of a long shot for them at this point, so they're just trying to stay above 500. And maybe get to the NIT right now. So that's obviously going to be, I don't get the sense that that's a team that's mailed it in by any stretch of the imagination. They're going to come in here, not want to lay down and want to give Tennessee their best shot and everything. So it should be an interesting game. 6 o'clock tip off. We will be live with you on the Voluntary Reaction as soon as it's over around 8 p.m. here on Fox Sports Knoxville. And be sure to call in, give us a listen tomorrow immediately after the game. We'll take a quick break right here. We'll come back and get more of your phone calls. The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, is coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Tax refund and want to double it? Then go see our friends at Toyota Knoxville, where they'll double your tax refund up to $3,000 towards the purchase of a new Toyota. Plus, you'll receive Toyota Knoxville's lifetime warranty at no additional charge. So if you want to double your tax return, go to Toyota Knoxville, where they'll double your refund up to $3,000 towards the purchase of a new Toyota. Go see them today, and don't forget your tax refund. I-40 and the Lovell Road exit, or toyotaknoxville.com. Our town, your dealership, Toyota Knoxville.
Your heating and air conditioning unit functioning properly? Call D&D Heating and Air Conditioning today to set up a free inspection of your HVAC unit. Call 865-299-1452 or visit HVACCompanyKnoxville.com. D&D Heating and Air Conditioning, servicing Knoxville and the surrounding areas. Call 865-299-1452 or visit HVACCompanyKnoxville.com.
Precision Lawn Services, Greater Knoxville's complete lawn maintenance provider, offering mowing, weed control, fertilization, overseeding, general landscaping, and more. Precision Lawn Services committed to making your lawn complement your home or business. Your one-stop shop for lawn care and landscaping. Precision Lawn is the way to the greener side of grass. Call Russ Cooper at Precision Lawn Service, 423-836-6616. That's Russ Cooper at Precision Lawn Service, 423-836-6616.
You know, there's always something happening at Quaker Steak and Lube. Located at 8355 Kingston Pike, the Lube hosts team trivia, karaoke, singo, and live acoustic performances each week. And new on Tuesdays in 2018, all-you-can-eat wings is happening all day. Happy hour every day from 11 to 7 with plenty of late-night specials. And on Sundays, the kids eat free. Voted the best wings in the USA, come enjoy Quaker Steak and Lube.
Dr. Daniel Smith here of Smith Family Dentistry in Oliver Springs. Did you know during the Middle Ages it was customary to kiss a donkey if you had a toothache? If you're having tooth trouble of any sort, don't kiss a donkey. Come see us at Smith Family Dentistry in Oliver Springs, and we'll get your teeth straightened out in no time. Call us at 865-435-4100 or visit smithfamilydds.com for more info. Our family, caring for your family. That's Smith Family Dentistry at 865-435-4100 or smithfamilydds.com.
Jets Pizza in Farragut is West Knoxville's full-service family pizza place. Bring the kids in for pizza and sports or head to the bar for fun with friends.
Listen up, fool. The Drive is back. The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, they'll come to you. Visit their website at wreckintoacheck.com. Now, to The Docket.
A former TCU football player has sued the university, Coach Gary Patterson, and key former and current school employees for forcing him to play through an injury. Colby Listenby is a former Horned Frogs wide receiver. He filed a lawsuit in Dallas County on Wednesday this week and stated that Patterson and others were negligent in dealing with an injury he suffered in September 2015 against LSU. He's seeking more than $1 million in damages. Patterson, former TCU athletic director Chris Del Conte, and former co-offensive coordinator Doug Meacham, and the Big 12 were listed among the defendants in the lawsuit. Listenby was drafted in the sixth round of the 2016 NFL draft by the Bills. He was harassed, humiliated, pressured, and threatened by Patterson, Meacham, and TCU assistant coach Rusty Burns during his final year with the Horned Frogs. Burns also listed as a defendant in the lawsuit. The main basis of the suit revolves around a groin injury Listenby suffered in September of 2015 against SMU. He alleges he was cleared to play despite telling team trainers that he was still in pain. Lawsuit claims the steroid shots that allowed him to play eventually caused damage to his pelvic area, effects that he was unaware of at the time.
Oh yeah, I saw this last night. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think that stuff happens, man. I've heard whispers and from other programs about, you know, if are you hurt or are you injured?
I think it's happened down through the years in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Some are more well known than others.
And they pressure you to get back out there.
That's why the kids need a little compensation, if you ask me.
Getting the specifics, but I'm fairly certain there was one player I can remember that altered his career.
That's tough because, like, this is what, like, people are like, well, you know, like the coaches, they care so much about the kids. Like, no, they don't. Coaches care about their jobs, man. And I know, like, they do, like, care about the players to a certain extent. But Gary Patterson, he's no different from Nick Saban, who's no different from any other major Power 5 coach. They care about their image, their reputation, and being able to continue to sign contracts, and it's on to the next player. It's always going to be like that because of the way the system is.
I think the system has to get a hold of it, because I think there's a difference between toughness, show some grit, rub a little dirt on it, and get out there with a serious
injury
that could be debilitating. playing through knee injuries, playing through shoulder injuries, stuff like that.
You may not be able to walk when you're 65 or 70. Well,
and the pressure on these kids to play is immense. Your teammates counting on you. We've got a big game this weekend. We need you, man. You're our star wide receiver. Yeah. Take a shot, get in there, you know, that kind of thing. It's a tough spot for those kids. And
exactly, you know, why the game won't last, you know, after we're dead and gone, the football will end. I think I'm with you. I think it goes to soccer, and more people will be playing lacrosse, basketball, baseball, and soccer for sure. It's just you're going to continue to see. It's a dangerous sport. There's no way around it. It's a dangerous, dangerous sport.
Meanwhile, many people have seen this video either on TV or social media today. A father who had to be restrained by law enforcement officers after attempting to physically attack convicted sexual predator Larry Nassar during a sentencing hearing earlier today will not be punished. for contempt of court, according to the judge. Randall Margraves rushed at Larry Nassar today in a courtroom after two of Margraves' three daughters provided impact statements outlining how the former doctor assaulted them. The third gave her statement in a courthouse earlier this month. Margraves reached the table where Nassar and two of his attorneys were seated before he was tackled by a host of law enforcement officers.
Boy, they gave him the business, dude.
Oh, yeah, he didn't even get close.
And he got the full money once they got him on the ground. I'm sure he was. I mean, he was still struggling.
Although they were saying basically stop resisting, like just relax, put your hands behind your back. I mean, they weren't like pummeling him like they just pulled him out of a high speed car chase. I think I felt that there was like an element of understanding from those officers. It was like, listen, we can't just
look the other way and let you do
what you want to do, but we have a job here and we're like, come on, man, we got to get order to this courtroom.
Absolutely. You can go back and watch the video.
I thought they went kind of light on them. I didn't think they were really too bad.
I mean, we all understand, right? Where the guy's coming from. I mean, I can't. It was reminiscent of, and he never did this, but Gary Christian in the Christian Newsom murder trial, where you just saw him and he was just sitting there and just like, I mean, it looked like this dude's coming over that rail any moment now.
Yeah.
And how can anybody who hasn't been in his situation or in this guy's situation identify? We don't know what we would do. I mean, I think let him tell him, look, man, you hopefully this is it. We're not going to see you in a courtroom again. But if you do, you can't do this again, or we're going to have to throw.
Would you call attention to yourself, or would you just kind of?
I don't know, man.
Slide on and go buy you a case of Marlboros and start making pen pals at wherever that guy goes.
What's that supposed to mean?
What do you think it means?
You're going to have him assassinated behind bars?
I'd spend a couple of grand on cigarettes to make his life a living hell for the rest of it.
I have no idea how I would react.
Put money in people's commissary accounts. I'll go ahead and say it.
I just have no idea. I mean, it would be any parent's worst nightmare. That is the docket brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive, who remind you if you end up injured in an accident and you need legal representation, call on Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. They'll come to you no matter where you are and turn your wreck into a check. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. You can check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com or just call 865-546-1111 to speak to a licensed attorney 24/7. They are the home of the now guarantee at Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. Ole Miss players who have since transferred after Hugh Freeze was booted from Oxford, now saying that Freeze and his staff lied to them about the NCAA violations committed under the Right Reverend's watch, and they want immediate eligibility at their new schools. Of course, Shea Patterson, the most high profile, the quarterback transferred to Michigan. If they don't get this waiver, what they are appealing to the NCAA for, they will have to sit out the upcoming season. Van Jefferson, the wide receiver from Nashville that Tennessee missed out on a couple of years ago, he's transferred to Florida away from Ole Miss. He would have to sit out. And there are five or six others, but basically they're saying that, hey, during the recruitment process, we asked Hugh Freeze and the assistants that were recruiting us, what's the deal here? You know, what's going to be the possible repercussions of this investigation? And what Freeze and his staff told them was, those were violations allegedly committed by the previous staff under Houston Nutt. And this is part of what led to the Houston Nutt lawsuit that ultimately brought him down. That's how they uncovered the phone records. It was part of the Houston Nutt lawsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave for Hugh Freeze. He's going to be... I feel for those kids. I think they probably should be made eligible immediately. And this is kind of what we were talking about with this transfer story earlier this week. That's part of the deal, is they want to make it to where the if your school you're at gets put on probation, you should be able to transfer and have immediate eligibility.
You should. That's a big game changer if those Ole Miss players are able to. I mean, Shea Patterson might get a chance to play this season, Michigan.
Jim Harbaugh definitely hoping that those changes go through.
Well, the university is who has to, I think, also has to make their case for them. And the story that I read on ESPN, I guess, put it out yesterday.
Like Michigan would have to make the case on behalf of Peterson?
Uh-huh. The universities where they're transferring to would have to make the case for them. And they're all like those players that were listed there. Those universities are going forward on their behalf because they said that they were lied to. Ole Miss painted a false narrative that nothing was going to happen.
Man, they're going to have to prove that, though.
They're saying they have the text messages. Yeah, Shea Patterson, they've all got the text.
Yeah, man, but I watch videos all the time on Facebook and everywhere else where people screenshot, like, fake-looking. I can make it look like President Trump's conferring with me about, you know, domestic policy.
Yeah, but you have to go through, like, but still, like, that would look.
They're gonna have to be able to.
Whose word are you gonna take? These five or six players who are all telling you the same story, or known liar Hugh Freeze?
Exactly, and they all got the screenshots talking about this correspondence that's back and forth from coaches to them, and then they're talking about it amongst themselves too. Like, they kept all this for a reason.
How did he not get a show cause?
He got suspended 2 games, but it only affects him if he's a head coach.
Right. Freezes.
865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get on the show with us here this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break right here. When we come back, we'll get right back to your phone calls. Rick Butler ready to greet you as you call in. 865-546-8200. We'll hit the reset button on the uniform topic. Again, the Smoky Grays gone the way of the Buffalo this afternoon. We'll give you the latest when we continue next right here on The Drive.
The Drive.
Tennis.
A sports radio experience like no other. This is The Drive.
On The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, live today at National RX. Luke on Twitter says, if they pass this Ole Miss lawsuit, where does it end with coaches lying during recruitment? That seems like a slippery slope. I think it ends with NCAA violations, right? If your school, if the school that you sign with and is at, and you're at, has some sort of NCAA probation, then, in my opinion, it stands to reason you should be allowed to leave.
I definitely think that's true. It's not fair. Like, you know, you have these kids, and here's the thing. The players get a lot. What about when the players get screwed over because of some shady dealings that the coach is doing, and then they're stuck and they can't go to bowl games? They don't get proper exposure maybe that they want to, so NFL scouts get to watch. I mean, it's like, it's not fair. Like, they came there, and these coaches tell their parents, I'm going to take care of your son and all this other stuff, and they make all these promises, and these coaches make so much money, you don't want to pay the kids, but don't the coaches and the universities have a responsibility? Yeah, the players should be able to leave if their university goes on, you know, get some type of sanctions or probation. It's only right.
Well, and, you know, I know we have a lot of fun with Hugh Freeze on the show, but I do think that, like, I do feel for Houston Nutt in this situation, and kudos for him for instigating this entire thing by suing to clear his name. That's messed up, man.
Like, oh, yeah, if it wasn't for Houston Nutt, Freeze, I think, would still be the head coach at Ole Miss.
I realize that coaches lie in recruiting all the time. Oh, you're going to play right away. We're going to do this for you. We're going to put you in the NFL. You know, just telling them what you want to hear. That's different to me than saying, oh, this stuff you're reading about in the papers about an NCAA recruiting investigation going on in our school, that has nothing to do with us. That's all on the last guy. when you know damn good and well that that's not true, that they're investigating you because you're running a shady, corrupt recruiting operation and you're just putting it all on the guy there beforehand? Yeah, that's why we have slander and libel laws in this country. And he sues him, and guess what, man? The chickens came home to roost. They went through your phone numbers. They found out you were calling call girls. You were out there pimping and hoeing while acting like you were some man of God out there on the recruiting trail, and it all came tumbling down. And I'm sorry, but the kids that you sold that particular bill of goods to shouldn't be held accountable for your problems. They should be able to go. And even if, like, Van Jefferson's going to Florida, that could come back to hurt us. But this is a matter of right and wrong, I think, for those particular players. They ought to be able to play right away.
They definitely should be able
They were
to.
Lied to, man. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they should have done a little bit better job of investigating it for themselves, but it's not like the NCAA is publishing the results of their ongoing investigation at the time. We didn't hear back from them until just this past year, and most of those kids had already signed and even played a year or two.
Yeah.
So the other thing is it's not a lawsuit, man. They're going through to the NCAA. They're appealing this. This is not in the court of law, you know. They're going to the NCAA to appeal for this eligibility. And what I think will ultimately happen and should ultimately happen is that it'll be a moot point for these Ole Miss kids, because I think they're getting set to change the rules across the board. Story we talked about earlier. I think they're going to pass a new NCAA rule that says, not just for this case, but for any case where a school gets put on probation and you can't go to a bowl game, you can't play on TV, you know, whatever the limitations are, you get to leave. You get to transfer without having to sit out a season.
I mean, the rule is egregious. Like, the school submitting, it just goes on to say in the story, the school submitting the waiver request, NCAA on behalf of those players will assert that the student athletes were all victims of egregious behavior. This seems pretty egregious to me. When you have a coach who takes a journalist that he knows and pushes him to push a false story and then texts his staff members to start sending the link to that story to all the recruits. It's not right.
Wow.
It's definitely not right. That's what he did. Coach Freeze, quote, delivered the misleading false narrative to the journalist, waiting until his story went online, and then drafted a direct message to one of his assistants commenting good PR response on the false information that he himself had given to the journalist, and directed said assistant to send the link to his story to all the recruits, the document says.
Hugh Freeze going to be back?
Yeah, Alabama coordinator.
Well, they've already hired Mike London.
He'll be back one day there.
I don't know if he's going to be.
He could be an analyst, though.
He's going to be back in the SEC.
I could see him being an analyst and spending a year kind of out of public view.
At Alabama. And then like,
going being an assistant, being a coordinator somewhere for a year or two, image rehab, and helmet.
You think he'd end up – I don't think he's going to end up back in the SEC.
Well, Saban already wanted him on his staff. So if a guy like Nick Saban –
Yeah, I mean, that's
Saban.
Nick Saban wanted him on his staff, and he got –
Well, we don't know that. We know that Freeze
reports.
May have wanted on that staff more than Saban wanted him on there. And Saban being the due diligence kind of guy that he is, oh, here's a guy that's well-known. Do we have a place for him or not?
Here's a guy that beat me twice.
What do y'all think about Shiano to the Patriots?
I'm not surprised.
It makes sense.
That was his number one reference, was Belichick.
Greg Schiano.
It was Belichick, Urban Meyer, and who was the third one?
Greg Schiano, Ohio State's defensive coordinator, set to interview next week with New England for their vacant defensive coordinator job. It was thought that they were going to promote from within the linebackers coach there, whose name escapes me right now. I was reading a great article about him. Some dude from – he's like a – the son of Haitian immigrants, grew up in some super poor neighborhood in Brooklyn, fought his way out to the top, and is on the verge of becoming a coordinator now. And
I think you said Haitians last year didn't play in the NFL.
I don't know if he did.
Pierre Garçon.
Fake news. Fake news.
No, you did say that.
No, I didn't.
Pierre Garçon.
No, I didn't.
You did say that.
No, I didn't.
That
Pierre Garçon.
Can I say what I said?
Say
I
it.
Said that Haitians don't play college football in the state of Florida. And in large numbers, they don't. You can count it. I don't know if that dude played football. I don't even know if he's from Haiti.
There was also.
He's Haitian. He's a son of Haitian immigrants.
I don't know.
That makes him Haitian.
He's the son of Brian Flores, that guy.
I don't know many people that grew up in like little Haiti in New York City.
A star standout. I can't.
That aren't Haitian.
Was it? Yeah, on the Pictures, Ricky Jean Francois.
Yeah, there, I can remember.
He's their defensive end.
Oh yeah,
right?
There's one guy.
And Pierre Garçon.
There's a bunch of guys.
That's certainly worth counseling football games over.
Yeah. I know what
Pierre
you said.
Four or five guys.
That day you said that there was not Haitians in
yeah.
the
NFL. You made a blanket statement. It wasn't as nuanced as whatever pablum you just spouted.
No, I stand by my comment.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I stand by my comment.
He stands by his abridged comments.
You said he was Haitian.
All right, listen, he's
Argentine.
You guys can pearl clutch for the Haitian immigrants playing college football.
We're not pearl clutching.
On your own time. We're talking about Greg Schiano here and whether or not he's going to be the next defensive coordinator for your New England Patriots.
Not mine. I don't care.
He's actually Argentine, by the way, Brian Flores. He's not even from
Argentinian.
Haiti.
There you go.
I think it's either Argentinian or Argentine.
South American, how's that?
No.
No? We have to be more specific. Oh, yeah, listen, I'm just going to set my headphones down. You guys hammer out all the minutia, and then when you're ready to proceed with the conversation, come and get me. I'll have some Jets pizza, and once you guys have figured out where everybody's from, we can go on. Just teasing me. I still love you guys.
I love you too, Russ. I do. I'm not so sure about Chance.
Yeah, not like that.
Man, I'm not going to kiss you guys on the lips like Tom Brady and his kids or his dad, because that would be weird.
Let's not talk about Tom Brady's kids again.
I don't want it to be, I don't want it to be uncomfortable in here, you know,
because
that's what we're about here on The Drive is comfort.
So much comfort.
Comfort for everybody. Comfort for the listeners listening back at home. By the way, Fox Sports Knoxville, your radio home for Super Bowl 52. Our coverage begins at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Game kicks off, I believe, 6:30. So, you know, we get you a good four and a half hours of pregame coverage. That's good, right? That's good. You have a 4.5 hour pregame show. You're out and about picking up some snacks or something on Super Bowl Sunday. Tune in to Fan Run Radio here for your pregame festivities. Or if you're out and about during the game, maybe you're working a delivery shift or something like that on Sunday. What do you mean? What do you think a pizza guy makes on Super Bowl Sunday delivering food?
Pretty good money. I'm sure a good like.
I don't know. I have no clue. I've never done it.
$150 probably to $200 in tips, I'd estimate.
And it's like it's the busiest day of the year for them.
It is.
I'd say it's a substantial increase over your normal Sunday. Like.
Oh, they tell you when you order a pizza on Super Bowl. Like,
yeah, because I've done it before. It's like an hour and a half.
They're like, it's going to be a while. Like they tell
so
you
let's
that.
Say that it's a Super Bowl party. We want Pizza Hut pizza hot and fresh at 6:20. We should call about, what, 4:45?
Well, guess if you want Pizza Hut pizza.
No, yeah, you just –
What are you bringing, Russ?
To the pizza, to the Super Bowl party.
I better keep saying like I don't even know if I'm having a Super Bowl party.
You're having
the
party.
Hypothetical Super Bowl party of which I haven't been invited to.
And he's like, Bear hasn't either. He's like, you're having one.
He wouldn't have a Super Bowl party and not invite me. I was there last year.
Yeah, and last year was kind of a bust. There was a lot of people that were supposed to show up. And
you
like,
blaming that on me?
No, I'm just saying in general. That's how it happens when you cook and you're a host. Like, sometimes people don't show up like they're supposed to. I made all this food. I made a lot of food.
But I mean, out of the three of us, you're the only logical one to host something like this.
Yeah, you won't let me. I made all this food, Russell. Had all these wings and like chips. I made like this buffalo. I made a buffalo chicken dip for the first time.
We need to get black bean dip this year, Chance.
You keep doing it to me. And nobody showed up. And I had all this food leftovers for like a week. And then I just had to wind up throwing a bunch of stuff away.
Wait, did you invite a bunch of people and just nobody showed up?
Yeah, like, well, I invited like people like, you know.
You were invited last year and you didn't show up.
Sorry about that.
Like, you know, like I told people and they didn't come. So it was just like. I'm probably not going to do this again. I had two rooms set up.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's
Atlanta fans and Patriot fans.
It's difficult when you have – when you host a party like that because I've been there before.
And you don't know?
Like, you always err on the side of, yep. I want to have too much.
Yep. I'd rather have it and not need it.
That's why you do potluck.
Yes, but then sometimes people potluck, they bring stuff that nobody likes. Like, you know how potlucks go.
Yeah,
you get like three bags of Tostitos. Yeah.
Everybody wants to bring chips.
Do you have any friends that take like if their chips don't get open, they take them with them?
Nah, because I got a rule. You bring beer.
It comes in, it doesn't leave.
It comes in, it doesn't leave. Well, that's how it should be. Like I've never.
So wait a minute. Now, if I brought a bag of chips and we just had a lot of chips, and I'd like say you know the family size bag, and nobody touches it, nobody opens it, and I try and grab it on the way out,
that's different.
You're gonna be like, hold on, Russ.
Nah, that'd be different.
Hold on.
I think if it's like, especially if it's open or beer is like that, like you bring a six pack, you drink one or two out of, I think you should leave the four. Like, I just think that's how it should go.
Like, I don't even drink. When I go over to the tank, I'll sometimes stop and grab a six pack or 12 pack and throw it in the fridge for the cause.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good poll question.
There's some other people that go to the tank that take their stuff home with them.
When you bring beer to the Super Bowl party or any party for that matter,
yeah.
And there are leftovers, they don't all get drunk. While you're there, drank,
stay with the host.
Drunk, do you leave them there, or is it okay to take them with you?
Like, I think it's frowned upon.
Beer, you leave the beer. I've taken a jar of.
The only thing you should take
medicine.
Back is like you said, maybe if you didn't open it and it didn't get used, and there was a lot of chips and stuff, or you take back your Tupperware. Well, you can take your Tupperware back. Like you.
Now,
pay.
If I bring a jar, let's say. Of shine.
Of moonshine.
I think you take that back.
I'm not leaving my whole jar over there.
I think you can take that. It's kind of different.
I think you take that
back. I don't know, but then, because like,
I mean,
somebody.
If it's a bottle of Grey Goose, yeah. Even if we drink half of it, I'm leaving it for
I'll
you.
Say, somebody brings a fifth, I think you might as well leave that.
What if I bring a case of beer and there's only about half of it?
Beer's so cheap that I just leave
take some
beer.
For the road.
It depends, man. Like, if you're talking about craft beers, you probably can take those home. If it's just like some Bud Light,
if it's
I'd
a lot,
leave it.
I'd be like, "Hey, do you want, you know?" I mean,
at least ask.
Yeah, I don't want to leave your refrigerator.
No, and not
that's
even
a weird ask though. Hey, beer. Chance, can I keep some of the beer that I bought anyway?
No. I was gonna tell you this. How you should ask. You shouldn't ask. Can I take my beer back? You should be like, "Hey, you want me to leave you some of these beers?" That's how you do.
That's
it.
The way you do it.
That's the way you do it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm not leaving a moonshine.
What kind of jerk is it going to? What do you mean? You
yeah.
leave some of them.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
going to leave all of them.
Exactly.
You brought them in here.
So that's how you have to ask. Like, hey, you want to leave? You want me to leave you some of these beers for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, leave all of them. Get out here empty-handed, you cheapskate.
Because also the person who's hosting is not going to be like, yeah, leave all your beers. They're just going to be like, yeah, leave me a couple. That's pretty cool of that person. Just leave me a couple, man. I appreciate that.
The ever diplomatic Chance Collins with us here today. At National RX, we'll take a quick break right here. The drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to jump in here. Back with more after this.
The drive. You can't stop the drive. You can only hope to contain it.
Shout out to the boys down at Mountain View Chevy in Chattanooga this afternoon. Number one Chevy dealer in East Tennessee. Home of the low price promise. Mountain View Chevy will meet or beat any advertised price, or they'll give you the car. Check them out online at mtnviewchevy.com. Search the inventory, compare prices. And remember, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Mountain View Chevy, downtown Chattanooga, and online at mtnviewchevy.com.
Tennessee desperately trying to get students to come out to these basketball games. I saw a overhead picture from the arena last night, LSU, and the area right there behind the basket where the risers are, with they've taken out the seats there and you have to stand. That place was not even full.
I know.
Maybe 30 to 40% full at best, maybe 25% full. I mean, there were maybe 100 kids down there for a midweek SEC game with a 6:30 tip off. It was
that they put them, I saw a tweet earlier, they put the students in 123 and 126, which isn't down in the bowl, is it?
Well, I'm talking about the risers right behind the basket where there are no seats, where it's a first come, first serve. Anybody, I'm assuming that's the way it works.
But
anybody
can
go
to
down
stand
there. Yeah, you have to stand there.
Yeah.
And I mean, during the Pearl era, and for much of the Conzo era, as I recall, like that place, those were always packed. I mean, you
those
might have
were you couldn't get like
yeah, you couldn't get there.
Yeah, so I was finishing at that time. Like, I mean, you couldn't get tickets, man. Like down like.
Will
there.
They let us go down there?
No, it's no. It's a students only section.
You still got your ID?
So anyway, they're sending emails out, mass emails now to UT students today with a Tennessee's basketball play. Your number 18 Tennessee men's basketball team plays Ole Miss tomorrow at 6 p.m. Here's a special invite from Kyle Walker, Kyle Alexander, and Jarek Walker. So they're begging kids to come out there.
Well, we talked about this months ago when we were talking about how they have the sofas down there, that it's just not – excuse me, it's just not the same. Like, when I was going to basketball games, I didn't – personally, and it was obviously because I love basketball and it's what we got into, you know, doing the sports media. So I never really missed many basketball games. I always went. And students just don't seem to care anymore. I know it's probably slightly a problem from the basketball PR department, athletics. They need to do a little bit of a better job, but – it's really the students kind of lazy too.
I think so. And that's one of these things where I don't really have, you know, I've got
my. I don't
know
how you fix it.
I think you need to get seats closer to the floor. I think you need to pipe in the music. I don't know how you get people in the building to begin with.
Yeah.
That's a marketing thing like that has to be done before the game starts, obviously.
What they have to do, you know it and I know it. What do college kids love? They love free stuff. And most importantly, they love food. Like they got to give them like, you know, free pizzas. Like I'm talking about just like hundreds of pizzas sitting outside, T-shirts, you know, give them, you know, extra loyalty points on the basketball games so they can get better seats in the football games coming up in the fall. You got to do something. Like maybe, I don't know what you have to do, but you got to do something to create a buzz in there. And like you said, the DJ, I was reading a story on how when Clemson switched to having a DJ at their football games and how they said it impacted the students. That's what the angle of the story was. It said that they were talking about a game where it started pouring down rain, and students said they stayed because of DJ Shay, and it was like a, you know, it was like a rain party and like stuff like that. So like those little things do matter. That, you know, people are scared of the change, but it matters. Like you get some buzz in there, and people want to say the millennials, but yeah, you start playing the music that the millennials are listening to in between breaks of the game, and you do all that, and it keeps them entertained. Because let's face it, there's social media and phones and everything, and nobody has the attention span of a cockroach these days. That's just how it is. Like you got to do something.
Well, Bruce Pearl was always going into the cafeterias and stuff, standing on tables, hyping folks, hey, come to our games and everything.
He walked the players down the aisles pregame.
That was his personality. I don't see Rick Barnes standing on top of a table, and I don't think he should have to fake it, but I don't know. Can you send the players out to do something like that? You got to get these kids to come down. The entire ring, if they're not filling up that the best seats there right behind the backboard, then you're going to have a dead crowd, a dead atmosphere. 865-546-8200. We will head back to the phone lines when we continue setting up hour number three of the drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Again, thanks to Jets Pizza for providing some food here. They will have the game on Sunday. Chili cook-off at 4 at Jets Farragut, and then they'll have the tasting at 5, and of course the game kicks off a little bit after 6. So looking for a place to go. If a chance is party doesn't come to fruition, maybe we'll just all meet up over there at Jets on Sunday for the big game at Jets Pizza Farragut. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, live today from National RX in Farragut. Stay right there. We'll be right back.